Is Phil Spencer about to be out on the streets with Jim Ryan joining him there? Is Helldivers 2 the game of the year? Is Fortnite the greatest game of all time based on financial success? These questions and more on episode 128.
What's good, everyone, and welcome to episode 128 of the Playconomics Podcast, where we break down the business behind your favorite and our favorite video games, and we provide you with just a lot of financial context for industry trends. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Mascari, and join with me today, I can't even get it out of my mouth, is the Chose Violence, here to make a point, the Last Stand Media Stand, Bobby Kowicki. What's going on, my guy? How you doing? How you living? What's going on in the world?
Let me just dismantle some of those titles, because first of all, we're both going to the live recording, the LSM live recording.
Facts.
Okay, so we're both fans. We're both fans. They do great work over there. I just think they've got you dead to rights on certain opinions.
We'll get into it. So what we're getting into today, we're going to go straight in, because you know what? The only one he didn't disprove was the Chose Violence. And today is a violence day here on the Playconomics.
It is Super Bowl day. We're recording this on Super Bowl day.
Because we had to. We had to talk about it. We were going to do a live episode. We were maybe going to delay until the Xbox news actually hit, because all of this is rumors and conjecture. But instead, we're giving you the news when you want it now.
Question, so because it is Super Bowl day. We're recording this at 2:15. Let's make our predictions before.
Chiefs 27-21.
34-0 49ers.
If it ends 34-0, what am I gonna do?
I think Patrick Mahomes is stupid. I think he's got a stupid face. I think he's got some
voice.
He's got a stupid voice and a stupid face, and he's not a real gamer. Patrick Mahomes doesn't know the gamer stretch. He got lucky a couple Super Bowls. Ooh, 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. Shut up. And San Francisco is a shitty team from a shitty state as well. So this, to me, the Super Bowl is a wash. Terrible halftime show. Usher remembered that, you know, he had bills to pay. So he was like, I'm going to put out an album. I'm going to be the face of Kim Kardashian's underwear brand. And I'm going to purchase the lowest bid ever for the halftime show. Thank God. Great.
You did choose violence today. You did. You woke up and were like, you know what? Everybody can get it. If the San Francisco 49ers win 34-0, instead of wearing the Playconomics merch to every episode of Playconomics,
you're going
to
wear one of those bras that Kim Kardashian made with the nipples built in?
No, I'm going to wear a PlayStation hoodie every day for the rest of my life. It's the only thing I'm going to wear to any Playconomics related thing ever again if they win 34-0.
The only reason that I care even in the slightest about the Super Bowl this year is that it's confirmed that the first Deadpool 3 with Wolverine trailer will be there. I will tune in for that and then shut it off, because stupid teams playing a stupid game.
Whatever. Now we're getting into Xbox, where the violence is going to continue. So the question that you came to Playconomics for, and the question we're going to answer for you today, is what is going on at Xbox? There's rumors that Game Pass is completely unprofitable and it's forcing them to get out of exclusives and go third party just to sustain. There's rumors of Halo, Gears, Starfield, Indiana Jones.
Your empire crumbles in front of you.
All being cross-platform, which would basically take every single unique game that Xbox has and any reason.
What unique game? They just buy other people.
Reason you would even want to own an Xbox, and they're just giving it to PlayStation. Hi-Fi Rush is already confirmed to be coming to Sony and Nintendo, and the biggest rumor that Xbox is completely ditching hardware and they're going full throttle into software. So Bobby, before I give you my take, I want unadulterated, tell me what is happening at Xbox and how bad is it really, knowing that full and well there has been no official statement from Xbox regarding any of this, and this is all conjecture and rumors.
No official statement. I do think Jim Ryan is out. I think that
he's bad at his job.
Well, hold on a sec. I am of the opinion that you're going to see a guard change at all three major companies spur Nintendo. I think Nintendo is a fortress. I don't think you see much of a change in guard there, but I also think that they have always been siloed off differently in that sort of corporate structure. You very rarely hear about layoffs there. So I think that now more than ever, regardless of the material things that happen because of this Xbox, will they, won't they bullshit. Mm-hmm. They are looking to somehow, some way spread their tentacles software wise. Mm-hmm. By them doing this, if they do this, and the conjecture is that they're going to announce that they're no longer in the hardware game, that they are doing a full pivot to software. I think that makes sense. Microsoft is a software company first. Hardware company second. Before you go too deep,
Phil Spencer did come out 2 days ago and say they are not leaving hardware.
But he also said that, you know, when they bought Bethesda, that everything was going to be multi-platform. So Phil Spencer is a talk out of his both mouth, duplicitous snake.
Next generation, they are not out of hardware.
I don't think that's true. I think that... Let me put it to you this way.
Yep.
Would you be shocked if this announcement was Phil Spencer saying that he's done?
No.
My biggest pushing chips forward is that this is Phil stepping down. Whether, like, much in the way that Jim Ryan...
Good take.
Much in the way that Jim Ryan had some wins but overall lost because of the live service pivot, I think you can make the argument with Phil Spencer where brought Game Pass to what it is now, but I think maybe overextended himself studio-wise. And I wouldn't be surprised if now they're saying, okay, man, you're good. Take a step back. You overpaid for basically Call of Duty, right? As much as we want to talk about King, as much as we want to talk about King. Hold on. But...
But
to the material console player, but hold on, because we're talking about console sales. King is not on console, at least not predominantly. That's mobile, that's its own.
It's Xbox.
I'm telling you.
I know, but you're just giving false information to say that they bought it for Call of Duty. They did not. Call of Duty is an additive. They bought this because of King.
They bought it because it was an enticing deal through all facets of it. I want to say, you're going to let me finish the question that you asked? Okay.
All right, I'm just saying, give the people truth.
The truth is this. Regardless of what I've come out here and fanboyed about Game Pass and this shit, that shit, I don't think that's not the point here. Whether they come out on stage tomorrow and say, guys, Game Pass, we're not doing it anymore. They can't. Whether they come out on stage tomorrow and go, guys, Xbox, it's a Microsoft Games now. The Xbox brand no longer exists. They can't. There are only a few moves on the chessboard left here, starting with predominantly the thing that I always thought that they would do, which is saying, hey, guys, you can pay on PlayStation for our game or you could subscribe to Game Pass. On Xbox.
Okay.
I think that's the value prop that they're going to put forward. I think that... Long term, their goal is to get Game Pass just natively on other consoles.
Agreed.
I think that this is their long way of doing that. I think that if I'm looking at my balance sheet, I'm saying we're losing so much money on consoles anyway, right? They've got to have a heat map that says X number of people stream anyway, X number of people play on PC. We are such a small install base on the console market that why wouldn't we just rip our efforts back?
They've never been profitable. Like, any console has never been profitable.
Here's the more interesting part of this. Mm-hmm. Realistically now, it's just Sony in the AAA physical console space. And much like with Nintendo, when Sony stepped away from handhelds, what happens? Because real, if you look at the playing field. Xbox is going to do what Xbox is going to do. The transition to software makes sense. It's what Daddy Microsoft does. I think Phil brought us here. He's not going to get us there. I think everybody's buckling down. Phil Spencer likes to spend money, and we're not going into a season of spending. I think if you look at the way the wind is blowing, Phil had his time. He's done. You bring in somebody a little more steady and non-shaken, right? He can wear t-shirts under blazers all he wants. Great. My curiosity now becomes, does Sony now try to claw back from Nintendo on handheld? Because to Sony on hardware, they've got Xbox. Xbox is in the ring, and Sony is at the top of the Hell in the Cell. And yeah. Sony is about to just swan dive through the ring and put Xbox in its hardware grave, not software. We're in agreement on this, yes? The exclusive has nothing to do with the install base of the $500 piece of plastic that lives under your TV.
Yeah, and I think it is just a factually correct statement to say that at least for the last three generations, the Xbox 360, PS3, you can argue which one was better, but the PS4 and the PS5 have outsold, outperformed, and just downright been a better product than the Xbox One and the Series X and S. If you're just going hard sales numbers on consoles, they beat them. They beat them bad. I think last year it was a 3-1 Sony to Microsoft. Hardware space, Sony wins. And Sony will win at least another generation.
Here is my pie in the sky prediction twofold. Mm-hmm. Because again, we're just, I don't want to spend too much time on this because it is all just rumors. When we come back next week and Phil Spencer gives his Microsoft business presentation, then we'll have some, happens. Right? Yeah. Number one, my pie in the sky prediction is so dedicated Sony handheld.
From
this. Like, not from this, but I think that if Sony's smart, they say, we killed them on hardware, we can make a portable PS4. And make the Switch look stupid. We'll do the Apple thing where somebody else invented the product and we just do it better. We'll make a PlayStation Switch.
Yep.
I would love to see that because I don't think we live in a world where Nintendo solved the problem of having to develop two different games for a home and mobile console. They solved that problem. Yep. Sony can solve it in a much more elegant way now, I think. I think the tech is there where you could have a portable PS4.
Yeah, and I think the way that the PS Portal went, it is clearly a proof of concept. Like, it's clearly like...
people want this.
Do people want this? And the answer was yes. We've seen the success with the Steam Deck. We've seen the Switch success. And now Sony has been like, okay, even ours will sell.
And my next pie in the sky prediction, and I know they kind of have done it before, is we get a Steam box. Steam says, ooh... what can we do in the home console space now that there's only one big guy with a lot of room for disruption at the bottom? Because short of Apple,
yep,
I don't know any other company with the tech and game know-how that could do something fun and interesting. Okay. Those are my two.
With that,
I'd like to see the handheld more, to be clear.
We're going to spin into what I think, because that was a great transition into what I think is actually going to come of this conversation that Phil Spencer is going to have next week. I don't think Phil Spencer's leaving. While I wouldn't be surprised, I don't think he's leaving. What I think they're about to announce and unveil is I forget what company they were working on it with, but they're going to unleash the gaming TV. And this is going to be a new product with a new market space where it hasn't previously been done. Obviously, there are apps and things on your TV now, but this is going to be the dedicated, this is replacing your console. And I think the reason why I'm okay with Xbox going the subscription model is because the industry is going there anyway. It's too far gone. All of the games are digital. No one buys physical anymore. There is no reason to have hardware unless you are the most dedicated gamer, and you're PC gaming. Nobody at the top tier spending $2,000-$4,000 on their gaming system isn't just investing in a PC, because it is by far the best way to experience any game, because there is no way for a console to keep up with ever adapting computers. So if you want peak gaming, it's PC. If you want gaming for literally everybody else, it'll be on your TV. And it'll be an app, and it'll be a subscription service. And that is where I think Microsoft is going three generations from now. But I think that this is what they're announcing tomorrow is a, or not tomorrow, this week.
At some point this week. They gave a vague date.
They're announcing the TV.
What do you think, what is your reasoning that if they're having a hard time pushing hardware consoles, what is their value prop of getting people behind a TV?
Because a console serves one purpose. And we go back to the PlayStation 2 DVD player,
drive.
Where if it's the same price, you might as well get the one that plays games too. If the TVs are going to be similar in price, and it's going to be better. It's going to be a better product by giving you the ability to have a dedicated way to stream your games and stream high quality games directly to your TV. It's a no-brainer. Your house needs one anyway. What is an extra $50? What is a potential zero net cost?
So your prediction is not that they're pulling away from hardware, that they're pivoting into different hardware.
Yes. Yeah. I think what we're, and not, I don't want to like get memes of like, we have the Xbox toaster, we have the Xbox refrigerator, and now we have the Xbox TV. And like, eventually you're just going to, all of your appliances are going to be Microsoft. But it's just, they announced this previously. We know they're working on it. And I think this is going to be not necessarily the next generation of gaming, but after that, it's going to be, I think the gaming industry as a whole is heading towards subscription is going to be the only way to do it. I've been on this soapbox for decades now. Games are too expensive. They take too long to develop. The only way to sustain is to have a subscription model. It's the only way to be able to get games out in any type of manner when they take 7 to 15 years to make, and then they take $200 to $500 million to produce. Where Bobby's predicting that GTA is going to be the first $1 billion game developed.
100%. I'm not there is no way that a game, even 7 years in development, even though it's been 10, call it 7 years for pre-production.
Yeah.
There is no way. Because they're going to make $1 billion within the first week. That's an easy ROI.
Agreed. But if you're not putting out any other products,
doesn't matter.
It's hard to float.
Well,
that.
It's Take Two. It's Take Two. Yes. They also own 2K. So stop.
Yes. I know. I understand. So GTA can do that. Other games can't do that.
Yeah. Like Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga cannot do that.
It's a great game that's coming out. It's hard to be able to do that. And we're seeing Sony struggle with it.
Correct. They had to go into superheroes.
They found their answer. They tried live service. Jim Ryan got fired because of it, because it wasn't going to work for them, because the market is way too saturated and everyone has their live service game already. Can't do live service anymore. It's owned. They went superheroes. There needs to be some answer. And I don't think a subscription model is as a detriment to everybody else as people are making it out to be. It is just one answer to that.
And it's just a detriment to the developers. You'll get an end yield product that's worse.
Debatable. We have
agree to disagree. We don't have time for this.
We have fantastic TV shows that are on Netflix. Everything else that's on Netflix, who gives a shit?
Yeah, but all the good ones are on HBO.
I mean, I don't know. It's fine. But which is also has a subscription service now.
So correct. Like, and I would argue that was okay. Can we just take a pivot? I've gone on record that saying rebranding HBO Max to Max is the most smooth brain troglodyte branding decision of all time. We've had this conversation.
Yes.
On the podcast. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We don't need to go down this road again, but basically, and I really want to point out that all of the opinions on Game Pass are counter to what we've received information wise from Xbox. They say it's profitable. What is the point of saying that?
Here's the one thing I will say and then I will never bring this up again. Mm-hmm. We are living in some fascinating news times, right?
Okay.
In which we're taking people, in your case, based at their word. Mm-hmm. Recently, Tucker Carlson interviewed Vladimir Putin, who just said things of why he claimed that it was a noble cause to invade Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That is no different than them saying Microsoft that Game Pass is profitable without any hard numbers. They haven't released sales numbers. They haven't released user count. We've played 9 million minutes. What the hell does that mean, Phil?
And they release it in a financial report. It's in every queue. It is literally in every queue report.
They've said how many people are on Game Pass?
Yes, and they have year-over-year targets. Every queue. It's just in the comments. It's just in there. And I will provide it for the next episode.
Okay.
But
please do.
They have
this metrics. Is where I know I've got you dead to rights.
If they didn't have metrics, how is the stock going up? It's their whole piece.
Are you familiar with the term wildcatting in stocks?
So you are.
It's going up based on conjecture.
You cannot publicly say.
Of course you can.
Game Pass is profit. They would get sued.
By who?
It's false information. The SEC would come after them in a minute if there was any reason to believe that they were misleading their shareholders to say that this a product that is clearly not profitable is profitable is a crime.
Can I tell you why I've got you dead to rights on this? Because Xbox isn't what's being publicly traded. Microsoft is. And overall, Microsoft is profitable. No. Yes, but they're
saying a product that they're giving is profitable. You can't say our product is profitable as part of a company, like it is a division of a publicly traded company. If Tesla owned flamethrowers and they sold the flamethrowers and they were like, this is profitable. We made money doing this, and they did not. The SEC would come after Elon Musk again. There is no way to fundamentally say a lie, a bold-faced lie, and not get punishment from the SEC. It's impossible. They can't do it. And they wouldn't risk it. What is the value of that?
I promise you one day. What was the Papa John's thing where he says, we'll have our day of reckoning?
What is the value prop?
We'll have your day of reckoning.
It will all be glorious. It's all risk. Why would you go on air and say it over and over again?
So I will build the case against Game Pass profitability. I will pull numbers. I will pull stats. I will look. Bring me the numbers. Bring me the stats. I want you a concurrent. Any other SaaS company gives you monthly active users.
Yes.
Pull me up the Game Pass monthly active users, and I swear to you, I will never, ever, ever bring this up again.
I will find it.
Go ahead. But I want it on fucking Xbox investor letterhead, not some troll in his basement who knows how to use Excel.
So the same information that you're getting, because you're not getting it from Xbox letterhead that it's not profitable.
No, I'm getting it from the guy who owns Grand Theft Auto. And if that guy looks at the product, if that guy looks at the
agree with it.
If that guy looks at the product and goes, there is no way on God's green earth that this works, he is smarter than me. I trust him.
I understand, but like it's the same. They have the same amount of credibility as the company that owns the product saying, here's the product. It's profitable. They're only opening themselves up to litigation. I understand people not wanting Game Pass and not wanting games to go there. That's fine. You can have that opinion. But to go directly against what has been provided by the company, the only true source.
What have they provided?
They blatantly said it. We'll find it. I will have to read the queue. I will go over their quarterly reports and I will give you the information regarding Xbox.
I'm going to feed you to an alligator in 2 weeks.
Okay, that's fine. I can't wait. The bachelor party will get me fed to an alligator. But we're transitioning to something that we both wholeheartedly and fundamentally agree on. And what we're talking about today is the Epic and Disney collaboration. And collaboration is a gross underselling of what happened.
Oh, we agree on this because I must have been
in the thing. Bobby is right. There's literally, I will highlight it now on the show notes. I have a sentence saying, because I do not get the BioSoft award every year. Highlighted in yellow.
Eventually. PC, folks, give him time.
Highlighted in yellow is me saying Bobby was right. Fortnite is the most important video game to ever exist. There's a typo in there. I put video while saying it. So what we're transitioning over to is that Disney invested $1.5 billion into Fortnite. Into Epic Games. Which is insane. It was such a large amount of money that Tim Sweeney had to come out, the majority shareholder of Epic Games, had to come out and say, I still have control of both the board and the company. That's how much money was put into Epic Games by Disney. And what this means is that Bobby was right. And also wrong. Because he also said that 2000, what was it? What year did you say was the most important year in video game history?
Seven? Oh, no, this has easily supplanted it.
2007 was the most important year of video game history.
We said best. No. It wasn't important.
Oh, yeah, it was best. It was best. Fortnite is the most important video game to ever exist. And 2017 was the most important year in video game history because Fortnite came out. That's how important Fortnite is from now on. And Bobby, what I want you to answer now is name one thing wrong that Epic Games has done. Because I'm arguing that not only is Fortnite so important, Epic Games might be the best at business of any video game company ever.
This is a little bit like Facebook in the early days, right? Where first it was just a place to post pictures from your college frat parties and connect with friends, and now you can buy a TV from your neighbor on there, right? Like it's grown into this platform and this portal that I think far exceeded the scope of what anybody originally thought. I think Cliff Bleszinski, who headed up Epic Studios and oversaw the first three Gears of War games and then left because he was like, you guys are doing this stupid tower defense game, should be put on suicide watch. Because God knows I would have to be if I'm looking from the outside in here. Okay, they're going to have to put up one of those Foxconn nets around my house. Oh. this isn't surprising. I've said it many times that Fortnite is you dump out your toy chest and G.I. Joe is fighting Master Chief while the Care Bears watch and Michael Weston builds a three-story colonial in the corner.
And Kratos is also there.
Kratos has a machine gun and a candy cane pickaxe. Like, none of this makes sense, while all of it somehow does. Back at the end of the year, or late last year, early this year, whenever they announced the racing game, the Rock Band game, and the Lego game, we are over the precipice. I think, you know, the fact that people are making games with Unreal in Fortnite, goddamn, the meme of Brad Pitt from Inglorious Bastards, like, you take that deal? I'd take that deal.
Yep.
That's a good deal. It's a good deal. It's everybody wins. Disney, a company that is constantly embroidered in turmoil and trying to shove Toy Story 52 down my throat to get me to keep buying shit, needed a safe place to park their money. And goddamn, what safer place than Fortnite right now?
Can you think of a better host of characters that you can get than what you now have because Disney is so ingrained into your ecosystem?
And we've had this. Like, Star Wars was in Fortnite before this. They did the licensing thing, right? Like, we've got, muscular Peter Griffin now who's going to be able to shoot the grandma from Coco.
Yep. It's just, and I'm sure they'll pull back so that you can't do that.
No, they won't.
It's going to be in the creative mode piece only. There's no way they're going to let Coco shoot Mickey Mouse.
There's no way that they're going to have There's no way they're going to have Kylo Ren executing Mike.
That's what Mike was Monsters, Inc. But can you think of a
better... I want Lightning McQueen in Fortnite. Do it, you cowards.
All the cars, when you get in and they just go, ka-chow. Like
do every it. Time. Cowards, all of you.
It's beautiful. The only other thing that I could ever say would be a better, like, team up than Disney and Fortnite and Disney and Epic, because I also want to include, like, I don't know, is the, like, the Rocket League, the Rock Band, is that all, and the Lego thing, it's all under Fortnite?
Yep.
Or is it just Epic Games?
Yep, it's all in the Fortnite launcher.
Then fine, I'm doing Fortnite. Besides Disney, because I think Disney is the goated, by far, the best thing you could possibly have ever added to Fortnite.
The only other one
is Lego.
And they also have. So it's like
in a 6 month period, they were like, yeah. Wear Fortnite, wear the new McDonald's toy. But guess what? Do you like Legos? Because you do. And do you like Disney? Because you do. We gotcha.
At what point does Fortnite get political? At what point?
Now, because they have Disney. Imagine they do Donald Trump versus Joe Biden week.
Better.
Hit me. I don't want you to.
Listen to me. This is a joke. This is comedic. Oh, I would like for the purposes of this podcast to understand that we need to be able to laugh at the prospect.
Don't do it. No.
Ben Shapiro in Fortnite.
Okay. That's where I was hoping you were going.
How funny would that be?
The next Fortnite concert is Ben Shapiro singing Facts.
Nothing.
They just threw him in with all his merch.
Oh my god, nothing would make me happier.
What pickaxe does he have? Does he just
have the Tears Tumbler.
Tears Tumbler. They put Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder in Fortnite.
People would lose their minds.
Crowder's pickaxe is just a picket sign that says...
Change my mind. Listen, Epic, we're giving you these ideas
the other character.
For... the girl who works from who isn't his daughter?
The one that looks like his daughter. It's Ben Shapiro with a wig.
Ben Shapiro versus Goku? That's the most goated squad ever. Listen, with Michael Weston.
Listen, I'm just saying, it writes itself. But my thing is, we're out here laughing like this.
Like
could
this
happen.
Couldn't happen.
Yeah, like at any time, Fortnite is like, all right, social media team, give me your best meme. Give me your best IP that we got right now. Somebody write up a contract and send it to them. And the best part is that if Epic sends you a contract that says we want you in Fortnite, not a single person on the planet doesn't sign it.
Oh my god, you get Jordan Peterson in there, you get the Jordan Peterson skin in Fortnite.
Zero.
His emote is telling you to clean your room.
Zero people. Who doesn't sign it? Name one person that wouldn't sign the agreement, I want to be in Fortnite. Nobody. It's a net positive. No matter who you are, it's better for you to be in Fortnite. You're just going through the entire red pill media and thinking, who could be on here? Who could be on here?
Listen, you put what's his name? The fake socialist streamer, what's his name? That guy? The one, listen, you get the Young Turks in Fortnite too. You get Cenk Uygur versus Ben Shapiro in Fortnite.
The
political
debate everybody wanted.
We're going into election season. God, you know what? I'm all in on this. Daily Wire versus Young Turks Fortnite. People would... I think that's where people... Like, if they did that, they'd be like, oh, we can laugh at things again.
Right?
It's like, oh, it's a joke. Oh, remember when they made spoof movies? Oh, it's a joke.
It would be a joke. But
anyway, I still want... Who do you think we get first in Fortnite? That's the question of the week.
From Disney? Like, what?
Michael Weston or Ben Shapiro? Who do we get in Fortnite first?
Michael Weston. I don't think...
They would have done it by now.
I know, but I think it's highly unlikely that Ben Shapiro goes to Fortnite.
I'm waiting for them to scrape the bottom of the barrel of, like, the cat. Like, we've got Michonne and Rick Grimes from Walking Dead. Like, when are we going to see Sons of Anarchy and, like, all those, like, mid-tier FX shows? Like, Justified comes to Fortnite. Vic Mackey from The Shield comes to Fortnite.
I mean, the reason they're doing the Walking Dead one is because they're doing the new spinoff. So, like, that's just a time thing. Like, if they did a Sons of Anarchy spinoff, I'm sure you would get Jax in there.
Tony Soprano joins Fortnite.
That one I can see. That one I could see happening. Tony,
his backpack is just a salami.
Yep, as it should. It's just a big old thing of gabagool. Like, that's what you got there. But
his emote is just breathing heavily into the microphone.
To bring this back.
Oh, God. I'm done.
Talking about. So I have one more question for you, because we both agree that Fortnite, if it's not the most important, it's on the short list of games that completely changed the landscape of video games and changed the ecosystem of video games. If I was to tell you that in 10 years, a game that currently exists is going to be on top of the market, can you confidently say that any other game has a better shot than Fortnite at that? Which game? Roblox. It's the same thing.
Which is exactly why, listen, Coke needs Pepsi.
That's fair. But besides Roblox or Fortnite, any other game that you think in 10 years is going to be just as good, if not better, than it currently is?
Let me tell you something. We're living in the times of the Apple Vision Pro, right?
Yep.
If I'm Nintendo, you know what my first call is? Hey, Tim Cook. You remember a little day in the summer of 2016 where we borderline achieved world peace with Pokemon Go? How'd you like to do that again? And make a lot of money, Tim. So, Tim, you sell somebody a $3,500 pair of glasses, and they can reach out and touch a fucking Magmar, Tim.
And he's like, and guess what, Tim? They're gonna buy it, because it's Pokemon. Look what we did for the last 15 years.
Look what we've done. Nothing. We've done nothing.
Not a damn thing.
I could see an AR/VR thing being bigger. I don't know if that exists yet, but I could see it being bigger.
Okay, AR/VR thing comes out. You don't think Fortnite's there? You don't think it's Fortnite?
I mean, listen. Can you imagine? And I'm not the first person to say this. Can you imagine in like late 2014 being a like character designer on this tower defense game, and now you've basically created the metaverse?
Yep.
Like, you didn't expect that to happen.
Nope. But all I'm saying is, if AR/VR is about to happen, you don't think they're going to leverage Fortnite to make it happen?
Maybe.
Like, the maybe. Same way
Epic's not in hardware. They would need a hardware conduit.
Yes, but same thing with Pokemon. Like, if Pokemon wanted to get into AR/VR, they're not going to do it themselves. They could barely make a console. Like, they barely got out of the 3DS graphics-wise. They're going to make an AR/VR thing? No shot.
Remember when Nintendo released those cardboard goggles for your Switch?
Yeah.
God damn, you people are stupid. Bought it though.
No, there was a few Nintendo products.
Here he comes.
That was
open your closet. Like, it's in there. It's in that closet.
That was on the list of things. I was like, we can't let them keep getting away with this. Like, they did. I was like, why can't you make your own?
Disney giving Epic $1.5 billion is a brilliant move. I think everybody is a winner except the consumer, because consolidation is bad. Can we finally talk about the greatest 6.5 to 7 of all time, Helldivers 2?
Yeah, and what Bobby just said is he's talking about the greatest game that was ever rated a 6.5/7 because it's the greatest of the mid. So if you want a mid game, but you want the best mid game, play Helldivers 2. Because Bobby's big on it.
Well, let's not get hysterical. I played it for about an hour and a half. I played it for about an hour and a half last night.
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing to play something for the first time in a long time that so genuinely understood how unserious it took itself.
Okay.
And it reminded me of late PS2, early PS3, where we would get games like this that were just good, but were not trying to set the world on fire and did everything that they set out to do competently enough that it was fun. This is not a $70 game. I think it was $40. I want to say $40. And for that, worth every goddamn penny.
If you play on Steam.
Yeah, but if you play on Steam, you're a special class of stupid anyway. So let's not. My review of Helldivers 2 starts and ends at PS5. This game is when you have somebody who's like, what if we made a Starship Troopers game? And then they're like, Warner Brothers or whoever owns Starship Troopers won't give us the license. And they're like, okay, what if we just made it but crossed out Starship Troopers? Because that is what Helldivers 2 is.
I love it.
The writing, down to the cinematics, this is a Starship Troopers game. The tutorial, I texted you last night, but you didn't text me back about it because you're a bad friend.
Yep.
There's during the tutorial, there's a part where it's teaching you how to heal yourself. It's like, all right, soldier, now that you're done giving those bugs a taste of managed democracy. It's so funny. It's like, let's learn how to patch yourself up. Approach the simulated battlefield injury machine. And you go to this big machine and you put your hand on it, it just shoots you.
That is funny.
But it's so fucking funny. And even your character is like, as you're shooting the bugs, it's like, how do you like the only tea I've been drinking is Liberty. Just dumb, stupid, and guess what? I'm never going to finish this game. It's live service-y. I can immediately tell. They're like, and here is our, here's where you can upgrade your character. And look at this tab with your hell bucks. And you can exchange real world dollars for hell bucks and get a new stripe on your helmet or some dumb shit like that. I don't care. Because then you go to your war table and then they're like, this quadrant of the galaxy is 28% controlled by arachnids, roly-poly bugs, whatever the hell they're called. Mm-hmm. You want to go? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And they're like, great, here's a buddy. Match makeup.
Yep.
Couple things. Very old, I hearkening back to a different time of game. You have to click to reload, which is a very old thing. When you're done shooting, your character doesn't just reload. You have to click to reload.
I'm okay with that.
Very old thing. You also have to click to aim down sights.
Instead of what?
So usually, when you pull L2, you aim down sights.
Yeah.
But if you remember in Halo, you could... You're, firing from the hip, holding on the trigger brings you a little bit closer, and then clicking brings you up to the scope.
Is that not holding L2?
No. So there's three things. There's from the hip, you hold L2, you go a little closer, and then you click and you go to the scope.
Oh, so you're saying so there's an extra step. Okay.
Very old. Friendly fire is on. Love meaning... It. I actually got shot many, many times. Very funny. Very funny.
Yep.
The missions, I think I've seen all, I want to say it's six different things you can do on the different sites. Stop the broadcast, collect a sample, kill the queen, time attack, or defend the base kind of shit, right?
Yep.
I've done all of those. So it's okay, what's next? What I like is that you only have a certain amount of time to do it. It's like 30 minutes. You have 30 minutes to do the mission. And if you do it earlier, you call for the extract and there's always like this big thing. It's, oh, they heard us. And as the choppers come to get you, defend the bug. Man, this is what I want from a live service game where it's like, I don't, there's no story here. I don't, it's not Destiny where there's, you know, the Destiny bucks are pegged to the US dollar and I have to remember the conversion rate every time I log in.
Yep.
You log on and you play and it's fun. And that's all it needed to be. And on that mark, flawless.
Okay, so I'm going to give you everything about this game that isn't flawless, because as Bobby, since this is a PlayStation release, will not tell you any of the negatives about this game, I will. But I also want to cap this off with why I think this game is good for the Sony ecosystem. So one, it's almost unplayable currently on Steam, even though it launched with better numbers on Steam. It's a better release than God of War. So more people purchased this game than they God of War 2018 when it came to Steam. It's currently sitting somewhere between a 75 and 80 on Metacritic, which is fine. I think like a lot of it's getting review bombed due to
just feet loving Xbox players.
No, it's because they can't play it. Like they're people are giving it a zero because they can't get into matchmaking, they can't log into the game, and it's extremely buggy. Which, fair, give it some time to shake out. Their CEO, Johan, you think it's Johan?
Probably.
Johan Pleinsted said on one of his Discord servers for the game that they're in absolute crisis mode amid the matchmaking, crashing, and login issues that they faced on launch with Steam. Bobby doesn't consider that important because he doesn't appreciate Steam, even though it's one of the most important platforms.
You're subhumans if you play on Steam. Yeah, you're worse than the arachnids.
Literally one of the most important things
you're worse than the bugs
to video games, but that's okay. As of time of recording, this game has been out for a week. Those issues have not been resolved yet. Outside of that, this is a fantastic thing for Sony to do, and I like that they're trickling into the PC market, because I don't and will never understand why you would want a multiplayer live service game on just your system. It does not make sense. Live service games that are focused around multiplayer, they live and die by how many people are playing it. The more people you have playing, the more money they spend, and the more likely they are to tell their friends to come play with them. It doesn't need to be a console exclusive. And I like that Sony is out of the console exclusive mantra, where they're saying, we need money, we need to make money. This is a live service multiplayer game. How do we make money? We let other people play it. Don't want to put it on Xbox? Fine. I think it's a mistake, but fine.
Will Helldivers 2 win Game of the Year? 2024.
Zero shot. Zero shot this wins Game of the Year. Has just about as much of a chance as Starfield did post-launch. Post-launch. There's no shot that this game wins Game of the Year. I will put I won't put it on there, but I would be more surprised if it won Game of the Year than if it just didn't get nominated at all. It is more likely to not get nominated than win Game of the Year. And saying this is a Game of the Year is completely tongue-in-cheek, and we all know that.
Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 is going to win Game of the Year. When that game comes out.
How do you feel about the necessity of Sony games going to PC? And I know you don't consider a PC game third party because it's not on the other consoles. I disagree, especially since Microsoft is the driving force behind PC. Where do
here's,
you stand?
Here's, I stand on it like this. Like this. I think it's good. I think the problem with PC and the reason why Sony bought a PC port house. Mm-hmm. As a studio, which is important,
yep.
Will always be the non-equity in people's tech, right? Like, so you it's hard to spec for a common denominator when there really isn't one, because so many PCs are at, can run at different frame rates and this, and if you have TurboTax open and all this kind of shit.
Yeah, but
more
they
or less, you do find. Yes, and more often than not, you find a common denominator, and PC is pretty, you know, PC first games are pretty good about patches and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think, like you said, for a live service game, the more spread out, the better it is. I will be buying zero hell bucks or whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I like it. Will I still be playing this in a month? Probably not.
Zero shot. But you're big on it. You're big on it. You're big on Helldivers 2.
For the moment, I think it's fun. I think it's exactly what I need. It's a pick-up-and-play game that doesn't require much. This is what I wanted Diablo 4 to be. Remember a couple months ago, I was like, I want a pick-up-and-play game. This is what I meant.
Yeah.
This is what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out. Big on that. Big on that.
Love to see it. Love to see it. We're going to transition into our last topic today. And as you know, if you're a fan of this podcast, that we end every single show with the Discord question of the week. And what we got this week is, what is the most amount of money you would pay for a video game? And what is a video game that you would pay that amount of money for? CPA said between 150 and 200 bucks if it's loaded with content. So basically what he's saying is that is how much money at a bare minimum he has paid Destiny 2. That's what I'm hearing. Thick Grape comes on with a big $1,000 for the entirety of the World of Warcraft lifespan. Hot take. Absolute hot take to play pay $1,000 for a single video game. But I'm thinking somewhere in the 100 to 200 range for me. A game like Elden Ring would have paid $100 for it. Knowing the
I would have paid more for Elden Ring.
Knowing the experience, $100 is the bare minimum where I would have been like, no brainer still. 150 plus, I would have been like, still bought it. Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, Christ.
I did pay $120 for this game because I bought it on both PlayStation and Xbox.
There would be no more blood and plasma in your body because of how much you would donate just to cash flow your Baldur's Gate addiction.
Absolutely. And I would pay about $150 for that amount of content. Over the lifespan of World of Warcraft, I have probably spent above 500,
55 million, 65 million
dollars. Closer to $1,000 on World of Warcraft. If you count the PCs I've needed to buy to be able to play it instead of just having a console, now we're talking closer to like $5,000 worth of material just for World of Warcraft. Skyrim plus all the DLCs, Definitive Edition, as high up in the tiers of Skyrim, I would easily pay $150, $200. Pokemon Heart Gold.
Or Soul Silver, the better version.
Or Soul Silver. I paid $250 for it because I needed to buy a 3DS to be able to play it again, along with a third-party copy of Heart Gold. So not only did I need to buy a console...
So you didn't even buy a real cartridge?
No. Like, aftermarket. I bought one that was, like, on Amazon. Like, I bought a cartridge that was on Amazon that was overpriced because it wasn't
Dicey. Yeah. That's a fake...
No, it can't. I forget where. It was just like a GameStop product that was sold on Amazon or some shit like that. I don't know. But it is a verified copy of Heart Gold. Regardless, I paid easily between $200 and $300 to buy a game like that. You need to get me with the amount of content, and it needs, for me, replayability. Replayability is the biggest thing of, can I play this game again and enjoy my experience? Or is there evergreen content for me to continuously play? Then you got me for 100.
I don't necessarily think quantity is the way to do it, because Assassin's Creed Valhalla was like a 700-hour game. And after a while, it was just shitty checkboxes and rote combat.
Yeah, but you can easily hit quality. But like, I would not pay over 100 bucks for The Last of Us 2.
Well, that's because you have god-awful taste.
There's not enough content. It's a 20-hour game.
But it's production per square inch. Can you scale that? Yes. A game like Elden Ring? A game like Red Dead? Yes. Yes, yeah, yes.
I'm giving you an existing game.
Okay, an existing game is I would have paid the same amount. If Red Dead 2 and Last of Us 2 both came out at $100, I would think that those were both worth the price in different ways, because you have a focused, tailored, narrative-driven game that is polished in every corner versus a wider and not as deep yet still story-heavy game in Red Dead 2.
Yeah, but I would say pound for pound, more people would pay more money for Red Dead than people would pay for The Last of Us 2.
Yes, you could convince more of your average man, woman, and child to pay for more for Red Dead than you could for Last of Us 2.
And like,
man, when's that Elden Ring DLC coming out,
right?
Huh?
Right? I would pay $70 for Elden Ring DLC today, right now.
I would sell my Bucky's cup.
I wouldn't do that. No shot. There's no reason to do that. You're going drastic. Like, you were do you know? So me and Sarah were driving up, and because you brought up Bucky's, we'll go on this tangent. But before we go on this
tangent. You passed a Bucky's and you didn't go?
No. Before we go on this tangent, I would like to remind you to get into the Playconomics Discord. And if you like this episode, like that for us. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell so that you never miss a single solitary piece of Playconomics content. Follow us on all socials. And remember to hop into the Discord. But most importantly, remember, as always,
happy gaming.